Is it recording? Sweet. All right. So welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. It has been more than a year in the making. I'm sitting here in New York at the lovely Space Illuminari we had a panel yesterday, and I had the fortunate to be able to be a part of a panel that was talking about being the unicorn in the room. And this man in front of me has definitely had most of his life being the unicorn in the room, not just because of the field he's in and the space he's in, but the representation he does for Latinx communities, for immigrants, for people that really come from a space of we need to let our voices be heard. And he's done that through podcasting. And most people that are listening to this as podcasters, we know this has been more than a decade of work, and he can definitely attest to you the amount of work he's put into it. And if you heard the Spanish episode, Danny Peña was definitely the man back then. So thank you for being back here again.
No, thank you for an invitation. I don't remember what we talked about at all.
Don't worry, I'm going to recap it, because it's okay. Been more than a year that we did this interview.
And it was all in Spanish, by the way.
Completely in Spanish.
So this one is the English version.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll be easier for us.
Yeah.
And if we think of a word that we want to mix in the Spanish, I'm all about the bilingualism. So it works out. And last time when we spoke at Hispanicize event. And the first question I asked you in Spanish was, do you remember the first time that you got paid for the amount of money when it came to, it could have been cash, it could have been a check, but it was something that made you think differently about working from 9 to 5. It might have been from your podcast, but it was something that you were getting paid to do differently. What was that aha moment for you?
So this was before the podcast, before the internet radio, because I think the first time I got paid for the internet radio was like $500, but
that's a lot. And back then, too,
$500. Back then, it was 2001. Yeah. But the one I'm about to mention now was very unique at that time, because I was living in Dominican Republic. I don't know if I did mention this during your podcast.
No, I don't think so.
So during the early 90s, Super Nintendo was around. So I had like a bunch of Super Nintendos. My friend has Super Nintendos, too. A lot of games. Mom will always buy games for me. So I told her one day, Mom, I want to start a business. She's looking at me like, what do you mean you want to start a business? I want to rent an office. I'm going to have a lot of TVs, a lot of Super Nintendos, a couple of Sega Genesis, and people have to pay me per controller to play either 30 minutes or an hour. She's like, genius, let's do it. So nobody was doing that in the American Republic. So I launched it. It was a big hit. Everybody would come locally. Then I started finding out people from out of town will come, copy us, and they start doing that. Like, they'll take that back to the local area. So I was the first person in Dominican Republic to do that.
Wow.
So I went there recently back in August, because I was to speak there.
Where did you speak to? Because I think that's a big deal, coming back to your community, to your mm-hmm. people, and educating on it. What was it for?
Let me go back. Okay. So 2-3 years ago, I was there promoting The Messengers. I did like a media tour.
It's a huge documentary, guys, if you haven't watched it. Yeah. Yes.
So if you have Amazon Prime, it's still there. You can watch it for free. Or if you have iTunes, Apple, you can watch it there. So I was there for like a week promoting it, doing a lot of media tour. But at the same time, I was like, I want to know where's the gaming community at. So I got to meet a lot of the game developers, content creators, and just fans of games. So when I was interviewing some of the community members and developers, they would like say, Danny, we feel left out. We feel like a lot of the companies will go to Mexico, Brazil, Spain, the bigger countries, instead of our country, like a small island.
Right.
You have a lot of connections. Is it possible that you could do like a workshop or like an event to push us? And I'm like, let me work on something. And the reason why they needed that, because they were saying, Danny, there's a lot of talent here, but nobody knows about them.
Mm.
They're not getting that push.
There's no recognition in that, especially in that space.
And the way how they were learn how to not only learn English or maybe how to develop games is the only tool they have is YouTube, the internet, Google.
Wow.
So they search, they learn from that, and they start doing their own games. So I was like, I promise you, I'm going to do something. So 2 years later... Well, thank you.
Hey, there's a party going on. This is a cool thing about shared space. It's the holiday season.
So then two years later, I've been talking to friends in the gaming industry, and I met a friend of mine years ago. I met here. She used to live in New York. She used to be a developer. She works for a company called Unity. Unity is where, let's say, a company wants to use their graphic engine. They could do programs. They could do software. They could do games from that mobile, consoles, PC. So I told her, can you do a free workshop at this event to show people how to use their your products. She's like, let's do it. She was like, Dan, if you could get at least 50 people, we're in. I was like, we have more than that. Don't worry. So we did it. We did a free event. I spoke up more. I spoke more about like my history, content creator. She spoke about like from the indie developer side, and it was good. It was really good. It was very inspiring. I left there like amazed, and there was people that came up to me saying thank you the whole time. There was a long line of people that wanted to like talk to me or take pictures
because
with me.
It's a surreal moment for them to be able to see that not only you're in this unique space, but you're representing, I mean, all Latinos primarily in your own island, which I think is, I'm sure a huge compliment towards you being able to be out in the world, especially in a documentary like Messenger, especially you speak all over. I mean, I think that's one of the big things that people need to see, that there's a lot of work behind it, right? You created a lot of content, and you were going to tell us how much that $500 was the first time you got paid. But I mean, now you've gotten so many times. So yeah, tell us a little bit.
Oh, I never finished the story. So the story of when I launched my thing, like I made so much money. I bought like my own motorcycle. I was good. I was there.
So how much was that about? So if someone has an idea of motorcycle.
I can't remember, but it was a lot of money.
That's cool.
We were, because people will come and it will sold out for like the whole day.
Wow.
Or people will come like, hey, Danny, can I rent a game from you? Because like there's no time for us to play. And we're like, yeah, if I know them, I'll rent the game.
That's cool.
Yeah, so then we started investing on getting new games that just came out. I'll go to the capital from the city I was at, buy the games, buy new gadgets, take it there, people use it. Like,
so you were seeing there was a need, obviously, within the community before anyone was doing like this internet cafe style kind of thing, which is really brilliant.
And this is early 90s.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very innovative. And then now you also put yourself in a space when it came to the podcasting world. It's been around for many years. A lot of people are maybe starting to connect now to podcasting. Maybe someone that's listening to this and is thinking of starting a podcast or has already started a podcast and are thinking about quitting. What are maybe a couple of tips that you can tell them? Maybe one, how they can save some money or how they can be more resourceful when continuing to create content like
one
that.
One is, don't worry about getting the most expensive mic and software. Don't worry about that.
This is impressive, the gear that we have here, right? But that's a good tip. Do not worry about it.
Don't worry about that. You could invest money in that later.
Okay.
I prefer for you to buy a decent mic or a decent recorder and invest more money on traveling, going to events, because I feel like meeting people at events, conferences, or even local meetups, super powerful.
Okay.
Because the way how I...
Networking. What is it they say? Your net worth is the equivalent to your networking. Yeah. So I think that's smart. Yeah.
So the reason why I mentioned that is because like now you have the tools. You could go to meetup.com. You could go to Facebook events. True. You could even search through Google.
Yeah.
Social media, Twitter, Instagram. There's always events happening of your hobby, of whatever you're into. So if you... Let's say you're all about being vegetarian. There's events for that. If you're all about like finance, there's an event for that, or video games. You know, you just got to search for and look for your community, you know?
And that's a helpful tip you gave us yesterday at the panel. Mm-hmm. You came from your expertise of podcasting, but you were telling people the type of work that you've been doing to reach out by, you could talk a little about your first party that you threw together. It was really an event. As opposed to just relying to social media, which doesn't always help. And the numbers don't necessarily reflect the amount of money you're bringing. Can you tell us a little about that first experience?
Yeah. So my first party ever, it was at my cousin's office. Cause that's what they
can. In Miami or New York?
Okay. In Miami. Is it possible for you to let me some space like for a day? She's like, yeah, sure. So I had like 50 people that showed up. So I got pizza. There was people that bought their own TVs.
Wow.
Their own consoles. Because I only had like one Xbox. And that's it. Everybody else would bring their own stuff. There was people that actually went to Walmart, bought TV.
Huh?
Once they were done.
Returned it
and got their money back. So that's how we did it. Yeah. So that was our first party. 50 people.
Okay.
So I have a lot of connections with a lot of local clubs. Because I used to be a street promoter back in the days. So I talked to a couple people. And my business partner was like, oh, let's do it at a club. I'm like, all right. So we did this place called, oh my God, something lounge. It was PS14. It was called in Miami. It doesn't exist anymore. So we did a party there. Again, word of mouth, social media, podcast. So now it went from 50 to 500 people.
Wow.
But we also had like a lot of Xboxes, tournaments, giveaways.
Cool. This isn't a whole event day. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had also people performing. My business partner, nah, man, let's make it bigger.
Wow.
So we went, we found another venue, which the owner of PS14, they were opening another one, which is huge.
Ah.
So he was like, if we do this event, you guys will be the first ones to actually have an event here.
I'm wow.
Like,
let's do it.
So 50, 500, 800.
Wow.
So it's still growing.
Yes.
So, right. And we had our community from all over the U.S. flew down to Miami just to attend the event, to be with us. It was
and
for
mostly
our
word of mouth too, word right? Mouth. This is before Facebook and Instagram and all these.
Yeah, really, social media was there, but it was very small. It wasn't like how it is
now. You weren't paying for ad sponsors. Yeah. It was, right?
So, yeah. No ads. It was, we did our own flyers, word of mouth, social media, the podcast. That's how we were spreading the word. Forms. There was some sites that have forms. So we did that. The next day, I remember we had a meetup with our listeners. We got to play some games, and my business partner took me outside. He's like, hey, you know what's next year? I go, no, what is next year? He's like, Super Bowl is coming down to Miami.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, what are you trying to say? He's like, let's do an event during Super Bowl weekend. And I'm like, I'm thinking first our listeners, because when there's like an event like that, everything's expensive. Flights,
right.
Hotels.
Right.
So he's like, if we start promoting it now, people could save money and they will come. Trust me, let's do it. Because I know our community always will do that.
And that's important. You know your listeners. You really do listen to. You actually take an account when they send you a comment, when they call you and leave you a message. Yeah.
I interact with them all the time.
I love that. I love that.
Either from the our podcast or through this thing called Discord. We have like a channel where people, we're in real time, we're talking to people, or through social media. So we worked on it for a year. We had so much stuff to give away that we had to rent a U-Haul truck.
Wow.
Because it was so much stuff.
That and you had a whole line, right? Wasn't this like a huge deal?
This was the biggest party I've ever done. So we had that. We had tournaments. We had a room of karaoke. We didn't have another room that EA Sports came down to do a tournament for Madden football. Okay. They talked about us on ESPN. They had like this thing called Madden tournament. So they had real football players challenging against each other through Madden. Then, you know, the winner take the trophy. So during that event, ESPN was interviewing them and they mentioned about a party because they announced a special program that they were launching and they wanted to surprise one of our listeners at our party.
Interesting. That
he was going to be like the first person to be part of the program and all this stuff. So it's a long story. But so we did that. So I'm hearing about all this stuff. Then the day before, I remember my co-host went to pick up the U-Haul truck. He was driving back to my house so we could put all the stuff there. Because we had a lot of sponsorships from a lot of gaming companies for that party. So I'm searching through Google. And I put Community Vibes 5 Gamer Tag Raider, just search.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I've never seen this link. What is this? And it says something like Best Parties, South Florida. I was like, oh, let me click it. It was from the Miami New Times. So when I clicked it, it said,
that's a big deal to be sponsored. I mean, to be seen in that Miami Times.
Look, the Miami New Times is like pretty big. Like Miami Herald, New York Times.
Yeah.
Miami New Times is up there too. So they have an article that says top 5 best Super Bowl parties in South Florida. Yo, they put us as number one.
That's huge. And the amount of credibility you built. Wow.
Word of mouth. And remember, we had a lot of companies, local media, that wanted us to sponsor, to put ads. And we're like, nah, because we didn't. Honestly, we didn't waste that much money at that event. Like actually investing on flyers. Everything
but you
else,
still had to invest something, and I think that's key for people to know.
First is our time.
Yeah,
that's like number one.
You can't get
number
that back.
Two. Yeah, we invested a couple of things, and it wasn't that much.
But
honestly,
you were resourceful to use people's spaces, so you didn't. You know,
spaces.
That's smart.
There was people that bought their own stuff, like to do their own tournaments. I'm like,
that's
look,
cool.
You do your own tournaments. You give us a percentage. Like that. That was always
you
ways
were collaborating
for us.
Already with people.
Sponsors.
Smart.
People were paying. So we were getting more money instead of us wasting money. So I'm like, hey, you know what? We did a good.
I love that.
So when I saw that number one Super Bowl party, I freaked out. I called my co-host. I'm like, yo, you ready for this? He goes, what? Putting me on speaker because one of our listeners were there helping him. And I told him, what? I go,
yeah.
They put us higher than Pepsi, higher than Playboy.
Imagine their budget too. That's
crazy.
And
it's like millions of dollars. Yeah. And we're like, a couple hundreds. Local. So that was crazy. So we had the next day, I go to the venue. We had people lined up.
Wow.
They were parked. Some people parked. They slept in the parking lot. Some that were just in line since 6:30 in the morning waiting for us to launch. Our party started like at 4.
Wow.
They just wanted to be the first to get in there.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. We had like over 1,000, I think it was like 1,200.
Yes.
Oh, 1,000 people at our party from all over the U.S., from Canada, from Puerto Rico, one person from Japan.
Wow. You see, this is something that I want people to take in. And gosh, the time's almost up. But
is
the fact that you saw it grow from 50 to 500 to thousands to seeing also getting that credibility, the experience. You were resourceful using the spaces that you had and not having to reinvest anything. And I think this is key for anyone that is starting a podcast or continuing to create content, is just kind of like you have to think in, yes, bigger terms, but starting small will get you to the next step. And obviously learning how to manage and collaborate for space. I mean, a lot of people have that issue. Like, that's the cool thing about this space, Luminari. It's a shared space, but being able to create something as big and have partners. That was smart. You had a partner as well that helped you, both of you. We were like challenging each other.
You know, I said this during the messengers. We were like Voltron.
Oh, I love that.
We're like Voltron. Boom. Yeah.
Once I just imagined that. Yeah.
We need each other in order to support each other, motivate each other, you know? So,
partnership is key, and you're podcasting too. I think that's what I love about the way you've done. It's not just you speaking. You have this conversation dialogue with your other partners, and I think sometimes you feel alone in the whole podcasting place. So I think that's important for you. Before we end, I would love for you to. Yeah. I think we're gonna have to do a follow up for sure. But can you give me maybe if it's a book or another podcast you learned a lot from that has helped you? And also, can you give us your numbers too? Because I know we talk about that numbers aren't always as important, especially for someone starting out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're at a place where it's so impressive, like on how many listeners you guys have and the growth that you've seen. So that's always inspirational.
Yeah,
if you can
so
share that too.
We used to be on Libsyn. It's like a podcast hosting company. And then we signed a deal with CBS Radio.
Okay.
We were there for like 3 years. They were getting us ads all the time. And we were just on that because through CBS, we were not getting the numbers at first.
Yeah.
Slowly, they will send us the numbers. But what we were getting was like, where were we? Like chart-wise. So from all their shows, we were like top 3, top 5, sometimes even number 1. So we like beat 60 Minutes, 48 Hours, Big Time Celebrities. They had their own podcast. Sports shows, wrestling shows. We were like number 1.
Wow.
So that's cool. So that's that. So then we left and we signed another deal with Audioboom. Now we get to see the stats. We get to see where people are downloading our show, country, what type of app they're using to listen to our show, where they found us, all that stuff. So weekly we get like around between 10,000 to like 100,000 in a week. It depends on the content.
Still, that's huge. That's
but
a lot of people you're listening to.
10,000 for
wow.
sure. Every week. There was one time that we almost got like 1 million. It was like 900,000-ish.
Almost. He's like, almost. Let's just call it 1 million. That's
impressive.
That
was because we went to E3.
Wow.
So now overall, we have 11.5 million listens. Just spending the time that we have now on Audioboom.
Okay.
We have 1.5 million listens.
And how long have you been podcasting for? Officially, we'll say how many years?
15 years.
That's impressive.
It's going to be 15 in February.
Yay.
Now
with your 1,000 episode coming up soon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1,000
wow.
episode, yeah. So remember, we only have 400, like around 400 episodes on Audioboom alone. The others ones is on Libsyn. That doesn't count. But I counted
but
as
still,
like
no, you have to because I think people need to hear it from the start. It's like you were already an entrepreneur before you started the podcasting and then the podcasting came and how you learned to work different avenue. So if people want to reach you or learn more about what you're doing or see what you're going to be speaking next or teaching a workshop or something, how can they reach
you? Follow me. I'm everywhere. Just look up Danny Pena or look up Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-E. Long story with that name.
Awesome.
But you could find me through there. But I want to mention this because a lot of people will get confused like, oh man, I need millions of downloads in order to get sponsors. You could get 100 downloads and still get sponsors.
That's key.
That's key
if you're listening.
Because it's not how many people download your show or follow you on Instagram or how many subscribers you have on YouTube. How many people are actually taking action when you motivate them, influence them to subscribe to your newsletter or buying a product or how many of those you could get.
Yeah.
That's the key. It's not how many downloads you have.
Wow. At all. Please hit him up. Follow him on Instagram. Yeah. And thank you for sharing your wisdom, your side, because that's something that's helped me along the way. And it's when I met you, I had just started my podcast. So to be like, hey, you know what?
And going you're still
into
doing it.
Yeah, and I'm still doing it. Yeah, going into third year. Woohoo. Yeah. But it's people like you that inspire us and keep us motivated to know that each time you're growing a different step and learning something new. So I look forward to having you back. And
yes, we
next
do
next time
three.
In New York again.
So wait, are we doing a Spanish next time?
Yeah, we're going to have to do a Spanish one too. And if you haven't heard yet, listen to that episode too, because you can. He talked about different aspects. You were recently on Cheddar. He's everywhere. So if you haven't followed him yet, make sure you do, and reach out to him for any questions, because I'm sure he'll be doing a lot more workshops, hopefully in your area.
Yeah.
So thank you for being part of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and we'll see you on the next one. Yeah. Hit us up.
Bye.